Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive as we talk both local and national sports. And as we wrap up Thanksgiving weekend, today we're going to talk a lot of local. We're going to talk, and some national as well. You're going to hear from Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Sport and Basketball team. A lot of high expectations for Emory Basketball moving in to this season. The Lady Spartans dominated South Summit earlier in the week, 56-28. Monumental message sent right out of the gate. We're going to talk to Coach Tuttle. We talked to him before that contest, so we'll get you a season preview. Also, we're going to talk some relocation NBA today. I love this segment from earlier in the week, kind of an abstract conversation. Our good friend Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com joined us on the show. Who could be moving to Seattle? I think a movement is really starting to pick up in the NBA to get the Seattle Supersonics back in Seattle. And remember, they didn't leave because of lack of fan support or lack of interest. They left because they could not get an arena. I think Seattle's going to have a basketball team within the next 5 to 6 years. We'll talk about that. And also, we'll gear up for college football weekend. It's rivalry weekend. We get the Iron Bowl, the Apple Cup. The Utes will take on Colorado. We get Notre Dame, USC. I mean, there's a lot of great college football matchups coming up this weekend. On Wednesday, we caught up with our good friend Antoine Staley. He covers college football in the Palm Beach Post. So we'll have a best of from the week of November 21st coming your way when we return here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It's Drive Time Sports.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you are participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Kelly Jensen and Dr. Scott Justison encourage all you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport or, if you're a passionate fan, you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Jensen or Dr. Justison.
Hi, I'm Reggie Valdez, parts manager at Auto Farm. Now is the best time to get real money back when you buy tires. Get $80 off a set of four Pirellis, $70 off Michelin, and other brands available like Continental, Goodyear, Dunlop, and BF Goodrich. You can also take advantage of multiple rebate discounts. Stack rebates and really save money on your tire purchase. Come into Auto Farm today and let us show you the rebates awaiting.
When only the best will do, price auto proof.
Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's pizza.
Huh?
You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's, located at 170 West, 100 South.
Surprise! All your family's coming to your house for a holiday party. Don't stress about spending hours grocery shopping and cooking. Call Big Mo's Eatery and Bakery and let them cater for you. Big Mo's can cook a wonderful Dutch oven dinner, or you can choose meat and cheese trays with pasta or potato salad. Don't forget the mouth-watering rolls, yummy cookies, or fresh homemade pies for the whole crew. All you have to do is pick it up and make sure your house is clean. Let Big Mo's take the stress out of the holidays. Call 636-0451 for delicious holiday catering.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports from November 21st through November 24th.
This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskerings on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. Dagger! John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Tuesday of a short week, and we're going to talk some NBA basketball. A lot of stuff happening, of course, right now. The season continuing to move forward. The Utah Jazz are struggling heavily right now. I'm so disappointed in the squad in the early portion of the season. We can continue to talk wins and losses and storylines in the NBA, but we're also going to talk the potential of relocation. That's been a big topic in the NFL, of course, with the Rams going to LA. No one really knows what's going to happen with the Chargers. The Raiders could be on their way to Las Vegas, but I believe that relocation in the NBA may not be too far off, and I know our next guest shares that sentiment. Joining us right now over the telephone, we have a great friend of the show, Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, great to get you on today. Thank you.
Jordan, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, as always.
I was talking relocation, Jameson, and this kind of works hand-in-hand with the latest news coming out about the Pistons, and we'll get to that in just a second. But the talk of a team relocating to Seattle continues to pop up, and I know Chris Hansen, a billionaire who has a movement now in Seattle, is really starting to push enough to make me believe that within the next 4 to 5 years, I don't think it's out of the question that Seattle gets a team back.
No, I agree. I agree with you 100%. It definitely feels that they're going to get a team somehow, some way. You have a lot of people joining the movement. Russell Wilson announced last week that he's part of the movement as well. You just have a lot of energy in that direction going. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I think eventually we will get the Sonics back in Seattle where they, you know, where they deserve to have a team. And, you know, it's a great basketball city. You have a lot of I call it the top five hotbed of hoop talent in the country. I mean, there's so many guys from that Seattle-Tacoma area in the NBA right now, and that will be in the NBA the next few years. Of course, University of Washington recruits very well, and they, you know, they don't have the success record-wise, but they put a lot of guys in the league. So there's a lot of hoops in that area, and eventually I do think we'll get a pro team sooner than later.
You know, it's always bugged me, and I'll talk about a couple of teams that I believe are probably in the running to relocate. As crazy as it seems, New Orleans would probably be one of them. I think the odds-on favorite, though, to move would definitely be Memphis, right? And it's always bugged me that we had the Vancouver Grizzlies to the Memphis Grizzlies. This franchise has managed to hang around, and yet the Seattle Supersonics, who have a very storied franchise, are completely gone. And I know that sits That doesn't sit right with a lot of people. I don't know if it's to the extent of Los Angeles and the NFL, because, again, we're talking about the second biggest media market in the country that didn't have an NFL team for two decades. But the Seattle Supersonics, when they left and they became the OKC Thunder, that soured a lot of people. And, Jameson, the thing that I don't think people understand is they didn't leave because of lack of support. They left because of a stadium.
I mean, that's where most people leave. At the end of the day, the teams want a new arena. They want a new arena with the bells and whistles. That's just how it goes. And if they're not able to get that, they're going to go to where they can get that. And that's just the bottom line. That's just, you know, how it is. And, you know, teams can get that. There are cities that will willing to put that up. Remember when the Kings were thinking about leaving Sacramento, Anaheim was pretty much taking season ticket deposits for them, and they were going to renovate the Honda Center. So, you know, if that's just how it goes, there's always cities ready and willing to put up the money for a new arena to bring a team. That's just how it is. You know, now it's going to be very interesting to see in the NBA, things move a little bit slower than usual when it comes to these things. Of course, you mentioned the Pelicans, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans. I think those are the only two teams right now. I'd have to look at everyone else's lease agreements and city agreements and all that. But those are the only two teams right now I can see relocating. I don't know if the NBA goes to an expansion situation, but if they do, here's a great idea, Jordan. move. If you have two expansion teams, add them in, put one in Seattle, either one in Vegas or Vancouver, preferably Vegas because they have a new arena, and you don't have to go through customs. But add two teams to the Western Conference, move Memphis and New Orleans to the East, and then there you go. You have a little bit more balance, and you also make things a lot more easier for the Eastern Conference teams and Western Conference teams too. Memphis is in Tennessee. Tennessee has no business being in the Western Conference of anything. Same thing with New Orleans. New Orleans is in, you know, the eastern part of the country. So move those two teams to the East, have two expansion teams if you're going to go that route, and then go from there. I think it would be definitely a breath of fresh air, and also makes the East a little bit better as well, adding a team like Memphis, who's a consistent team, consistent playoff team with a solid foundation there. I think that would be a really good thing to the East as well. So it would be a win-win for everyone. I just don't know if they're going to add two expansion teams on at this time.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, expansion. And I know you're right in Las Vegas. You've seen growth. Of course, Vegas getting an NHL team. There's talk that Vegas should get an NFL team. I don't know that it's a done deal, but I think the Raiders are extremely close to landing in Las Vegas. I know Louisville has been mentioned, Kansas City, and then Seattle, of course, of getting an NBA expansion team. Las Vegas, though, has become a major player in any relocation talk, and I'm really starting to wonder if Vegas is going to become the new LA in a sense of teams will use Vegas as leverage. And I think that's what that city is setting up as right now. They get an NHL squad, you got a brand new arena, you have talk of the Raiders going. Las Vegas may be leverage for a long time, Jameson.
I don't know if they use them as leverage. I think the situation is different. In the NFL is a little bit different because we knew that market has been used before. You know, so you can use it as leverage. There was a stadium there. You know, there are actually several stadiums in L.A. that people could have played at. But with that being said, NBA is a little bit different because you don't need to really use it as leverage per se. You can just say, hey, like, you know, we have a situation in Vegas where everything's already made. So it's not really leverage. It's like, all right, it's a direct threat. In L.A., you still had to say, hey, who's going to build the stadium? If you move to L.A., who's going to build the stadium for you? It wasn't like a done deal. No one has the pockets that stand. Not a whole lot of people have the pockets that Stan Kroenke has to get that done. Now, in the NBA, there's already a stadium ready, so that threat's a little bit more direct. That leverage is very real. It's more of a real threat. So we'll see what happens. But, again, I think the only way Vegas gets a basketball team is if we have expansion. Would not surprise me one bit. You know, Adam Silver's a guy that, you know, he's very innovative, and, you know, his era, he's definitely does things a little bit differently than the predecessors he's had. My biggest thing with him and the NBA in general is if you do that, then the owners have to be on board. Right now, the owners are making as much money as they've ever made before with the TV contracts and whatnot. You have to entice them to bring on two new teams to split up that pie two more times, and I don't know if they want to do that. So there's a lot of different directions and ways this will go, but it's definitely interesting to have a conversation about it, and you know, more teams the merrier to me. I think that there's so much talent out there, and there's so many good players out there. I think one thing as well, they also need to expand the draft as well, and you know, to a third round. There's so many teams, there's so many guys declaring whatnot. It wouldn't surprise me if they added two more teams. I think there should be 90 players selected in the draft because we all know half of them are getting stashed in Europe anyway.
Again, our guest right now is Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com as we talk the possibility of relocation in the NBA. Now, all of this was brought upon, obviously, because the two work hand-in-hand. The Detroit Pistons will no longer be playing at the Palace of Auburn Hills. I'm a little saddened by that. I think that place, it is synonymous with the Detroit Pistons. This is also an arena that sits 24,000 people. I kind of view the Palace of Auburn Hills in the same breath as I viewed the Great Western Forum with the Lakers. I understood why the Lakers had to leave the Forum. I understand why the Pistons have to leave the Palace. Yet at the same time, this team moving from the suburbs to downtown, it's going to be a little bit of a different feel, Jameson.
It's definitely a different feel, but you have to understand that their fan base, the majority of their fan base is downtown. The reason why they have struggled with attendance at times is because it's way out in the wilderness out there in Auburn Hills. It's not downtown the city. And also, remember, they're also renovating downtown Detroit, so it would fit in with with their plans and what they're doing down there. So that's why you hear a lot of talking. They're making the move, which is not a bad situation at all. I think it is good because way back when, back in the 80s, they were actually playing at Joe Louis Arena and the Silver Dome and whatnot. So They have played downtown in other areas before, so it's not like a new concept. It's not like with Lakers moved to downtown when Staples Center got built. That was a totally different thing. That was like, whoa, what's going on here? This is a little bit different, and I do agree that they should have their arena downtown, because downtown is a lot easier for people who live in all types of areas to get there and go to games, especially during the week. That's the biggest problem. During the week, you want to make it as easy as possible for your fan base to get to games and people who work downtown to get to games instead of having to go 30, 40 minutes out the way.
Jameson, we'll move away from the relocation talk and all the stadium talk and the arena talk here for just a second. I do want to talk about the current NBA standings and where we're sitting at right now. What is going on in Utah? If the playoffs were to start today, the Jazz would be out. And I understand that we're only 15 games deep into the season. This is a team that cannot stay healthy, and I'm starting to wonder if this is going to be a reoccurring theme. And how much of this do you blame on Quinn Snyder?
Well, I don't know if you can blame a lot of it on Quinn Snyder. I think you blame a lot of it on the GM. I think that there are certain moves, like the Trey Burke trade is historically bad. When you look at draft day trades, that trade is really bad. You cannot trade two first-rounders for a guy that isn't signing a second contract with you. Like, that just cannot happen. That right there sets you back, and that's why the Jazz are where they're at right now. They're a good defensive team, not a great defensive team. And on offense, they still struggle from time to time. So if you're not a great defensive team and your offense is going to be struggling, you're in for some trouble. You're in for a situation where you're going to have a lot of trouble day in and day out. And right now, that's where they're at. Now, can they get a turnaround? Of course they can. They're in a situation where they can get a little bit healthier. They can get things turned around. But health is an issue. And also, who is their best player on their team? Because right now, is it Gordon Hayward? Is it Rodney Hood? Is it Rudy Gobert? And they don't have an all-star on this team. And in the Western Conference, if you don't have an all-star, you're not a playoff team. You're not a serious threat. And that's what they are right now. Now, I think they will get better. They will get things turned around. Historically, over the last few years, they have started off slow and picked it up, you know, around, you know, January, February, going to the second half of the season. With that being said, I don't know with the expectations and pressure that they had coming into this year that'll be the case. I don't know, because it's different when you're a team that's a happy-go-lucky team rather than a team with a bunch of expectations. That would remain to be seen. That's why I want to see out of this ball club. And also, what young player is going to take that next step? Is it going to be Trey Lyles? Is it going to be Dante Exum? Rodney Hood? Who's going to be that guy to take that next step and be a really good ball player for him?
Again, Jameson Walsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com taking out the time to join us and talking a couple of different topics with the NBA. Jameson, it's always great to get you on. I really appreciate the time. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, and I know we'll catch up again with you next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We're going to pause for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Do you enjoy working with animals and being outdoors? Then USU Eastern has the perfect degree for you, a Bachelor's in Wildlife Sciences. The Bachelor's program is taught on the USU Eastern Price Campus. In this program, you will learn how to analyze, manage, conserve, and restore rangeland ecosystems. The degree also offers opportunities to work hands-on with faculty members in the field and participate in cutting-edge projects. If you would like to get paid to work with wildlife in the great outdoors, contact Mike King at USU Eastern today, 888-202-8783. USU Eastern, transforming lives for good.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you are participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Kelly Jensen and Dr. Scott Justison encourage all you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport, or if you're a passionate fan, you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Jensen or Dr. Justison.
During this holiday season, you have a chance to help Desert View Federal Credit Union support law enforcement. Desert View Credit Union is accepting donations to purchase car seats for children who have been in accidents and small denomination gas or gift cards. You can help by making your cash contribution at the Desert View Credit Union Huntington or Farron branch. Make this holiday one where you care for those in need. Call 687-2472 for more details. Happy holidays from Desert View Federal Credit Union.
Emory Telcom new eFiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emery Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with eFiber. Let Emery Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
In 1981, Drew Leroy opened the original 3,000-square-foot Food Ranch. Today, Food Ranch has grown to over 21,000 square feet, along with a full hot deli, bakery, meat shop, and racquetball court. But the area Drew is most proud of is the Spartans Den. This is where the kids from Emory High can hang out and have lunch or just sit and talk. This just reinforces Drew's commitment to the families of Emory County. Food Ranch would like to thank you for your continued support for years to come.
You were listening to the best of Drive Time Sports from November 21st through November 24th.
Hey, it's Garrett Topp. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOA 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. Last night, we had the college football playoff rankings released once again. Huge, because now we get down to it, final 2 weeks of the season if you count conference championship play. And so last night's rankings, definitely the biggest up to this point, the most meaning up to this point, no doubt. No changes in the top four. Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, Clemson 4. I thought maybe Clemson had a chance to jump Michigan, but they stay put at 4. Washington 5, Wisconsin 6, Penn State 7. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about those rankings, we have Antoine Staley of the Palm Beach Post. He's joined us each week for college football this year. Antoine, great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Good to be with you again, Jordan.
No real surprise last night as far as the rankings go. You and I were talking during that last break off the cuff. The one thing that still bugs me, I don't like Penn State 7 and Wisconsin 6. I think those two need to flip. And yes, that's very important as far as the rankings go. A lot of people would say, well, does it really matter at this point? It does, because Penn State legitimately should have a chance to get into the top four.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, they still might get there, but I think that win over Penn State should be put up above, ranked higher than anything Wisconsin has done. Yeah, to beat an LSU team that's very mediocre this year, I don't know how great that win is. And they played Ohio State, and they played Michigan tough, but and they beat Nebraska. Nebraska's a good quality team. I think that's their best win. So their win's not really impressing me right now. So for some reason, the committee loves Wisconsin. I don't know why. But, yeah, I agree with you. I would put Penn State above them as well.
And you know what? The AP doesn't really agree with us either, because Penn State is 8 there. They have both Oklahoma, Washington, and Wisconsin ahead of them as well. So I'm not quite sure what the infatuation is with Wisconsin. I will say this, Antoine, and I want to get your perspective on it, because we talked about this on the show for a whole segment yesterday. Again, and you and I mentioned this last week, if Ohio State wins and Penn State wins, Penn State goes to the Big Ten Championship, and that changes things completely. How does the playoff committee handle that now that Penn State is 7? We know they're 7. We know they're 5 spots behind Ohio State. If both of those teams won on Saturday, how does the committee handle this?
I guess it also depends on what happens with Washington and Washington State. If Washington were to lose, then, of course, Wisconsin and Penn State will move up if they both win. So it's going to be interesting to see what would happen to Ohio State, especially considering how the game would go against Michigan. But they always said, the committee's always said they value conference championships. But they have Ohio State at 2, who might not even play for one. So I'm curious to see would they drop Ohio State no matter what they do, because I have a hard time seeing that. Let's say they beat Michigan by 10 points or so, and that's a good quality Michigan team, obviously, because they're ranked in the top four. How can you drop down, even though I know they're not going to play for the conference championship? So it's definitely going to be an interesting situation. But I think if you put Ohio State in, you kind of have to put in also the Big Ten champion as well. So I'm curious to see how this is going to go.
So say for the sake of the argument, Ohio State and Penn State both win, and Ohio State goes to the postseason. For future reference, the Big 12, Notre Dame, BYU, Independence, teams who don't play for the conference championship, do you use this as a reference point, and is this something that could actually take the playoff committee and shake things up where we get an 8-team playoff in the future?
Yeah, I think so, because it'll be precedent set. since we had the playoff, every team that's been in the playoff has played for their conference championship or won a conference championship. I know the Big 12 is going to have somewhat of a conference championship next year, depending on how you look at it. The top teams in the Big 12 will play each other for the Big 12 championship again after the regular season is over. So, yeah, but, yeah, I think ultimately, yeah, both of them, they get said, especially the two, I'm going to say the set a precedent that, and I don't know if the committee necessarily wants that, but probably Ohio State's one of the best teams in the country. Have time keeping them out because I think everybody thinks they're the top 14 at least at the moment.
Antoine, I'm going to let you rework the playoff system. The way it all works, someone comes to you and they say, all right, we're going to let you either keep it the same or we're going to let you make some modifications. How would you change it?
I would go to 18, but the only problem with that is they like to implement the bowl system. So if you go to 8, then eventually it's going to go to 16, and they're going to just eliminate the bowls in general, but which I don't think they want to do. But, yeah, I would have an 18 playoff, and I would have every conference champion. If you win your conference championship, you're in the Power 5 conferences. And then I would have 3 at large, and that can come from any of the group of 5 schools or any of the big-time conferences as well. So that's how I would have it. I think that makes the most logical sense.
Well, let's talk about the upcoming slate of games. Again, joining us right now, we have Antoine Staley, great friend of the show, joins us to talk college football every week. We'll start by talking about the big one, Ohio State and Michigan. It's been a while since this game has had this much weight, this much meaning. I think you got to go back to Chad Henne and Troy Smith, if I remember correctly. That game had some national championship implications on it, if I can remember right.
Yes. Yeah, they were both 1-2 in the country. They were both undefeated coming into the game. That was one of the biggest games of all time in that history. So, yeah, it's been a while since we had this kind of Ohio State-Michigan game, but it's going to be an interesting game. Obviously, Michigan is suffering from the injuries. Their backup quarterback is the starter right now after their starting quarterback got injured against Iowa. And Michigan didn't play particularly well last week. You know, you look at the game against Indiana. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how they're going to come out and play against Ohio State. I'm sure they'll be fired up. I'm sure Ohio State will be fired up as well. They didn't play well against Michigan State either. But, yeah, I think you're going to get two. They look like they were two. Both teams look like they were looking ahead a bit last week. So I expect a pretty good contest. I do like Ohio State to win the game, but I do think it's going to be a close one.
Antoine, I've been talking about JT Barrett for the last couple of weeks. I don't know that this guy has necessarily got enough attention or enough credit in the Heisman race. Didn't look all that great against Michigan State, but he has an opportunity, right, to have a Heisman moment this weekend.
Oh, absolutely. You're playing a top four team in the country in Michigan. You play it on national TV at the noon slot when you know everybody watching that game, whether it be the posters, the committee, everybody. So if you do that, this is his last opportunity to make possibly to have a Heisman moment, depending on what happens with Penn State and everything. So, yeah, I think he should be getting talked about. You look at Lamar Jackson and what happened to him last week against the Houston Cougars. I mean, I still think Lamar Jackson is the front runner for the Heisman, but it isn't much of a slam. It isn't as much of a slam dunk as it was prior to that game. So who's to say that J.C. Barrett goes out and has a great game that he can't, went upset, full of upset, and win the Heisman.
Let's talk about the Iron Bowl here for a moment. Auburn's a team I have just not been very high on throughout this entire season. I think they've been a little bit overrated. Right now, they're the second highest ranked 3-loss team in the country, only behind Florida State. As far defensively, as far as Auburn goes in this game, how do you neutralize somebody like Jalen Hurts? Someone that's a true dual-threat freshman quarterback, and he's already set several Alabama single-season records. What are they got to be concerned most about defensively in this game, and do you give them a chance?
Well, what you have to do is force him to be a thrower and force him to be a quarterback instead of using his speed and able to make plays. I thought at the beginning of the year they played Clemson, and they pretty much shut down Deshaun Watson, who I think a lot of people thought he was going to be a front runner for the Heisman. He's had a down year, so to speak, this year, but they did a great job against him and really kept Clemson offense in check. obviously Alabama's offense was playing a lot better than Clemson is this year. And you got, not only do you have to deal with a guy like Jalen Hurts, you have to deal with the excellent running game of Alabama. They're great offensive linemen. And also, you got to deal with a receiver like Calvin Ridley, who's one of the best receivers in the country. So they got their hands full. I do like the Auburn defense. I think they can keep it close for at least a little bit. But I expect kind of like what happened in the Texas A&M game. Alabama will pull away late and pull out the double-digit win there.
Big game in your neck of the woods, Florida at Florida State. That's number 14, number 15. How do you see this one playing out?
It's going to be – Florida won an ugly game against LSU last week. I mean, you got a team that – you got a Florida team that plays great defense and has no offense whatsoever. You got a Florida State team that really struggles on defense this year and can put up points. I think it's going to be tough for Florida to win this game because Florida State's obviously going to put up points, and Dalvin Cook has been a pain in their side ever since he's gotten to Tallahassee, and I expect him to have a big game. It's probably his last game there in Tallahassee, his senior day. I know he's a junior, but he's all, you know, I believe he'll go off into the NFL next year. He's projected to be a top first-round pick and possibly the number one running back taken, so I don't see any way he comes back to Florida State, so I think he kind of wants to go out on a good note. Beat the Gators once again, and yeah, I think Florida State's definitely going to win, probably by a touchdown or so.
As far as the Pac-12 goes, Colorado, they have to beat Utah. If they don't, USC goes to the Pac-12 championship. I've said this on the show this week. I've said it for the last couple of weeks. I don't know that anybody wants to play USC at this particular moment. In fact, if they get to the Pac-12 championship game, if lightning strikes and Utah does beat Colorado, I think USC is going to the Rose Bowl, Antoine. This team is playing lights out right now.
Yeah, I agree. They're one of the best teams, one of the hottest teams in college football. And it's funny to think that, especially considering how much they got just embarrassed on national TV by Alabama in week one, and now here we are talking about USC, one of the best teams, one of the hottest teams in the country. And I agree with you. I think right now, the way they're playing like one of the best teams in the Pac-12. Unfortunately, they dug themselves a hole, so they're going to have to hope for some help. What does help, obviously, you got Utah, you got Colorado. I know Utah had a stinker last week against Oregon, which really surprised me that they did against a really bad, one of the worst Oregon teams we've seen in some time. But, yeah, you never know with rivalry games. You never can predict what's going to happen. I do think Colorado will probably win the game, but it would not completely shock me if Utah were to pull off that upset.
Washington at Washington State, who do you like in that game?
I'm going to go with the Cougars. I really like them at home. Pullman, Washington is really in the middle of nowhere, to be honest with you. A lot of people think it's really close to Seattle. It's actually on the other side of the state. Mike Leach and that offense is going to try to put up a lot of points, and I don't know if the Huskies are going to be able to stop them, to be honest with you. But I expect this to probably be one of the better Apple Cup games. I know Washington State losing to Colorado last week kind of took a little bit of luster off of that. But, of course, Washington State can still play for the Pac-12 championship if they win. And I think the Cougars are going to pull off the upset and get the win.
Not based off of this year. I mean, historically speaking, it is rivalry week. I know rivalry week in college football is absolutely huge. What's your favorite rivalry?
That's a tough one. I think... Probably, it probably had to be Michigan-Ohio State. I think that's one of the long-standing rivalries, and usually that's always it's always means something. So you look at some of the rivalry games that we have, some of them have kind of been watered down as of recent years because it hasn't mean as much. Oklahoma-Texas, they used to be a hot rivalry. Obviously, Texas with their struggles and Charlie Strong looking like he may get let go. That rivalry's kind of gotten watered down a little bit. Florida State, Florida, watered down a little bit. So, yeah, I probably have to say that particular one. That and the Iron Bowl, to me, are probably my favorite two rivalries in college football.
Antoine Staley of the Palm Beach Post, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I thank you very much for taking out the time. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up again with you next week.
All right, Joy, sounds good. Take care.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.
When your car sounds like this, and you trying to fix it sounds like this, You most definitely need some help. Head to J&D Automotive in Castledale. They're number one in parts and service. If you need a quick diagnosis, they got you covered. If you need an individual part, they got you covered. Or if the job is just too big and complicated for you to handle, they got you covered. J&D Automotive in Castledale and Green River.
Hi, I'm JC Ibanez, insurance agent with Tatton and Meller. Coaches often have to answer tough questions following a win or loss. Here at Tatton and Meller Insurance, my job is to answer the tough questions so you know what you are insured for and why. There's nothing more frustrating than believing you are covered for a specific claim only to find out that you're not. At Tatton and Meller Insurance, we offer free insurance reviews of your current plan to make sure you're in the right coverage when the game of life is on the line. Call me today for your free review at 435-637-LIFE.
My diesel truck is just not running right. Where do I go to get this thing fixed?
Landon's Diesel is where I go. They know diesel motors.
Yeah, I know they're good with big diesel motors, but mine's a pickup truck.
What kind of motor's in it?
All right, I get it. They can take care of my diesel motor truck no matter the size. What about my motorhome?
Once again, what kind of motor is in it? I'm telling you, if it has a diesel motor in it, take it to Landon's Diesel. They'll fix it right.
Landon's Diesel Service is located by the Price City Domes in South Price.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results. Radio is there no matter where you are. Radio gets results. When you need to get your message.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports from November 21st through November 24th.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
It's a short week of Drive Time Sports, but plenty of local content coming your way, as the winter sports season will actually really pick up tomorrow. I know swimming is off and rolling, but tomorrow, both Emory boys and girls basketball and Carbon boys and girls basketball get the season underway. Both wrestling programs will also open up the brand new season. Of course, some exciting stuff happening at Carbon with Coach Brock Fawcett taking over the program. So the winter sports for high school, it's fantastic. And we also have the topics of realignment, which will be finalized here in the next 9 or 10 days. So a lot on the local front. We're going to start by talking some girls basketball. High expectations for Emory High School's girls squad this year. This is a team that a lot of people believe is the squad to beat in the 2A classification. And what's scary about that, the majority of this team is built around sophomores. And this was a squad that was very close to knocking off Delta last year in the state championship tournament. Delta went on to win the state title. High expectations for the Lady Spartans. Joining us right now to talk about the upcoming season, we have second-year head coach Lynn Tuttle. Coach, as always, it's great to talk to you. Now that we've got the winter sports season here, it's great to get you back on the show.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
I know this is one of those years, Coach, where expectations are extremely high right out of the gate. This is a team that played very, very good basketball last season. And if we go back to the state tournament, you guys really outplayed Delta, the state champions, for about 2.5 quarters. This is a very capable team. Anytime people start talking state championship, preseason-wise, you know, you're going to the expectations and the pressure and all the fun stuff that comes with it, it's there.
Yeah, it certainly happens. You hate to be in that discussion because all it does is put a target on your chest. But with the talent that has returned, and as young as they are, got several years of it to come. But, yeah, I hope to be in the mix there in the end, and definitely have the talent to do it. So hopefully we can help the team mend and get it done.
I remember talking to you at the end of last season, Coach, and it was disappointing the way the championship hopes came to an end again, getting Delta so early in the tournament, but playing a really good, solid contest all the way around. I'm sure you've really been anticipating the start of this season based off what happened last year, right?
Yeah, I have. Yep, been looking forward to getting in the gym and starting fresh this year, putting everything behind us, and look towards the future and hopefully do well.
How have things gone this off season for the team, as far as some of the camps and maybe some of the growth of the girls that you expect to have a key role? How's the off season in general gone for the squad?
We had a good summer. Spent a bunch of time in the gym when I was able to. It was actually USU Eastern's camp over there. And, yeah, I was real enthused of how the girls done over there. We played some big teams, Fremont, Springville, and they competed well over there. And it's kind of what I expected. The girls that should be producing, returning this year, they look good. Got a year more maturity. They're stronger and quicker. So we're sitting right about where I had expected to be.
You talk about those girls who are expected to produce at a high level this year and where they're at. Coach, you got a very young group. And I know coaches typically say that kids make the biggest jump between their sophomore and junior year, but you have a lot of sophomores this season that I'm sure you expect to make that jump.
Yeah, we do. We've got six or seven sophomores. We're extremely young. We roster contains two seniors, two juniors, and the rest are sophomore and freshmen. So more than likely we'll be a team that starts one junior and four sophomores. And I can see the maturity level has risen with them younger girls. And like I say, they've got stronger and quicker. So I expect to be better than we were last year towards the end of the season.
It's just crazy to talk about four sophomores starting with a junior and this team being considered as the team to beat in two-way or one of the teams to beat in two-way. How have the girls handled that kind of expectation being so young?
Well, they're pretty humble girls. It does not get to them. I think there's a lot of pressure put on them last year by me, and I'll put the same pressure on them this year, but they handle it well as far as egos and attitude. It's amazing. They don't have any bit of that.
And again, we're talking about such a young group. You're going to get this. You're going to get these kids for the next couple of seasons, which I know makes it a lot of fun. Do you switch anything up, Coach? I mean, did you try to ease these girls into certain situations and make it a little bit easier, or was last year kind of just baptism under fire for them?
Yeah, last year they just thrown in fire. we had the older group last year, a pretty good group of girls. And then probably the better talent was them young ones. So, yeah, they got thrown right in the fire, and they handled it well. Just knowing the girls, I figured they'd do well in that situation, and they did. I think especially the latter part of the season last year, was a lot of the preparation that's starting right now helped them a bunch.
Going back and kind of dissecting what happened for you as your first year last year as head coach, what were some of the things that you look back on and you say, okay, we have to improve in this aspect if we're going to reach our ultimate goal?
Yeah, there's a few areas that we've got to do that in. And as a coach, we try to do that. Two of our, a thorn in our side is free throw shooting and rebounding. I expect rebounding we'll do a lot better this year. We've got some great big girls, and our guards now, they're aggressive. Like I said, they've gotten stronger. Free throw shooting's always been a thorn in our side. Set some team goals early last week, and we want to try to shoot 75% from the free throw line, and we work on it daily in practice. Hopefully that's one area we can improve in. As far as leadership, all the girls have, they've got attributes that they can all step up and be leaders. That's going to be expected from each girl.
I think the bigs always get a little bit more attention, Coach. A lot of coaches that I've talked to at the next level, the JUCO level, have specifically mentioned Megan Jensen. She proved a lot last year, showed a lot of her ability. How has she looked as far as growth, not only on the court mentally, but physically as well?
Physically, that's one of the girls I can definitely see has gotten stronger, maybe a little quicker also. She's, as far as mental, she actually handles things well. Try not to be too rough on her. I don't know what she thinks of me, but she's an outstanding player. She come in last year pretty polished for her age, and she's practiced all summer and has actually gotten better polished. She's going to be a big leader for us this year.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Spartan basketball squad. Coach, you guys get off and rolling tomorrow. Got to travel on the road to take on South Summit. In fact, your first two games are going to be on the road, South Summit and South Sevier. What are some of the things that you look for in these non-league games to get the new season off and rolling?
Well, definitely. We go into it thinking we're ready. The areas that we need to improve on, that's what preseason's for. So each game we'll get out of. What we get out of it is where we need to improve and what we've done well. And then in practice, we'll start working on the things that need improvement. We actually played South Summit last year and South Sevier a couple times. And South Summit was young last year. I expect they're going to be a pretty good team this year. South Sevier, they lost kind of their best scorer, but they play physical, tough. But what we'll try to get out of the game, areas we need to improve on, and we'll start working on them in practice.
When you look at your guys' non-league schedule as a whole, I mean, how do you feel the difficulty is this year, Coach?
It's a pretty tough schedule. I think we played three different 3A teams that we didn't play last year. There'll be additions this year, so I'm not sure how they are. We played North Summit. I expect North Summit and the 2A, they'll be there at the end and competing for the championship. Miller's a tough team. So, yeah. As far as preseason schedule, it ought to test us.
It is unfortunate that the Carbon game is no longer on the schedule. I always look forward to that game. I know a lot of people in both communities do as well.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I wish we was playing them.
Yeah.
Them, like you say, communities, they would live for the game. That's, girls live for it. But, yeah, I wish we were playing also.
Coach, if we look at the region front to back, I mean, obviously, I know the goal is a state championship. When you have this much talent, I know a goal is a state championship. But is it the same? I mean, is that initial goal to win a league crown, is that the first goal at hand?
Yes, it is. Yeah, you definitely want to take your win your region. This year, it's going to be a tough North Sevier. They're a tough team. They return all five starters, never lost anybody. Manti can be decent, San Juan, but yeah, that's ultimately the first goal is to take region, and then the bigger goal is to continue into state and take state.
And you look at it, I mean, you mentioned North Sevier, you got San Juan, Manti, Gunnison, Grand. Front to back, I mean, how many of these teams do you think are going to really pose a threat to other squads around 2A, I guess, in comparison to regions? How difficult is Region 15 stacking it up against the others?
Well, North Sevier, they're definitely... They'll be there in the end. Next, I have to say, probably Manti. They've got a chance to do something to make some noise, and then probably San Juan. I think Gunnison will still be down some, and Grand also will probably be down.
Last question before I let you go, Coach. Between now and between now and region play, I know we haven't even played one game yet, but just getting the vibe in practice, that one aspect outside of free throws and rebounding, is there something that stands out to you that maybe needs some improvement? And on the flip side of that, what seems to be the biggest strength of this team?
Well, one of the strengths of our team is how well they all get along. We don't have any drama on the court or off the court. One of our emphases is trying to get in shape. A lot of these girls are coming in this basketball season out of shape and trying to get there. I always tell them the better conditioned team will always win the fourth quarter. So that's one of the areas we're working on, and just some personal goals they've got of themselves that we're working on.
Coach, it's always fun to talk to you. It's great to talk about the squad and the girls. I really appreciate you taking out the time. Best of luck tomorrow in the season opener, and hopefully we'll catch up again with you real soon.
Okay, thank you.
Again, Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Sport and Basketball Squad. They open up the season tomorrow. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll continue to cover the Emory Lady Spartans throughout the year. And, of course, we'll bring you some live play-by-play calls as well. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to move over to college football. Heartbreaking Saturday for the Utah Utes. They had an outside chance, I thought, to get into the postseason. Very small chance. I thought the Pac-12 title was definitely realistic for this team, and they squander it with a home loss to Oregon. We'll talk about that and also some big winners and losers from this past weekend in the world of college football. That's coming up next.
Have you been waiting for the perfect time to buy a new Ford? That time is here. Hurry down to Auto Farm's Price Auto Group today and take advantage of 0% financing for 72 months on Ford Fusion, Focus, Fiesta, Flex, Taurus, Edge, Escape, Explorer, Expedition, F-150, F-250, and F-350. With this big of a selection, there's a Ford for everyone. Don't pass up this incredible time to save, even if you had credit challenges in the past. Now is the time to buy your new Ford at 0% for 72 months. Come into Auto Farm's Price Auto Group today. 0% for 72 months on all new Fords won't last long. Ford Credit OAC.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
What does the new e-fiber from Emory Telecom mean for me and my household? I was happy to find out that Emory Telecom's new e-fiber provides internet service up to 200 times faster than my current plan. That means more time enjoying my internet instead of dealing with the constant buffering. But does this change mean my costs are going up? No. With the lower cost maintenance of fiber, Emory Telecom can pass those savings on to the customer. In fact, Emory Telecom will work with you to determine how much data your household currently uses, so you only pay for as much internet as you need. For more details, call Emory Telecom at 613-9605.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
When your car sounds like this, and you trying to fix it sounds like this, you most definitely need some help. Head to J&D Automotive in Castledale. They're number one in parts and service. If you need a quick diagnosis, they got you covered. If you need an individual part, they got you covered. Or if the job is just too big and complicated for you to handle, they got you covered. J&D Automotive in Castledale and Green River.
Ho, ho, ho. You don't like Christmas music?
No!
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Boscarini.
Well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby, and the snow is falling on the ground.
Little Elvis Christmas. Never heard anybody at all, right? Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Hey, it's officially okay to play Christmas music now. Black Friday, hopefully you've had a safe and enjoyable weekend as we've played two back-to-back best-of shows here on Drive Time Sports this week. We're going to be back at it again on Monday. I thought it was a great week, especially with the holiday. Couldn't come soon enough, right? The holiday seasons are officially here. Utah Jazz basketball is going to make its return tonight. The Utah Jazz taking on the Atlanta Hawks. That's at Vivint Smart Home Arena. David Locke and Ron Boone. We'll bring you the live play-by-play call there. Utah underachieving a little bit this season. We talked about this earlier on in the show. You heard the interview with Jameson Welsh from earlier in the week. I'm a little concerned about the Jazz. George Hill is definitely the motor that pushes this cart in the right direction. And if he can't stay healthy, the Jazz look like they could be one of the major letdown squads this season. We'll see if they can't right the ship and get moving in the right direction. There's a couple of teams in the West that could make it tough to get to the postseason if the Jazz continue at this rate. The Lakers being one of them. They just keep playing good basketball. They're fun, they're exciting, and they're young, and they got a perfect mix of vets and youngins. So Things not going to be easy for the Utah Jazz in the Western Conference. Remember to follow the Jazz all year long here on KOAL. We are out of time. Have a safe Thanksgiving weekend. We will catch you on Monday. Same time, same place. I am out.